is Kelman on Cliff Central.
There you go. What's happening, Flax?
Not much.
I should probably put your mic on. That
I was
might
just
help.
About to say that. Yeah. I could not hear myself. Now that my mic's on, it's time for Relax, it's Flax.
I didn't even play your intro music.
Where's my intro music?
I'm slacking here. It's the Friday. All right.
Relax, it's Flax.
There you go. For someone that's never heard Relax, it's Flax before, just one more time, tell me what's about to happen.
It's the calm before the storm.
Ah.
And the storm's your weekend.
Okay, so like the pre-drinks.
It's basically your pre-drinks. And then you go out and then you club.
Yes, and when you go to the club,
you have to have a DJ.
This is very true.
So we bring that to the party today. DJ Paul. Is that your DJ name? DJ Paul.
Officially, DJ Paul Angel.
DJ Paul Angel.
Dope. Now, DJ Paul Angel is one of the coolest DJs in Johannesburg. He is the resident DJ at Movida, which is where we like to have our birthday parties.
Yes.
We've had one so far. And we had our launch party at Movida for Cliff Central. Flax, when you suggested the idea, I got super excited because I remember watching this guy a couple of weeks ago behind the decks in the booth at Movida, not the one on the stage, the other booth. And I was like, wow, he's doing some very fanciful things on his computer there.
Like, yeah, we were looking at that system and thinking like, wow, how's he know how to control all that?
Yeah.
It's linked to some computer.
There's a hell of a lot to this DJing thing. And you seem like the kind of DJ that's at the forefront of technology and where DJing's at, dude.
Well, you know, gentlemen, it's 22 years experience.
Wow.
You know, I started with vinyl, good old 12 inch.
Sure.
You know, they always say that DJs do it with 12 inches. So. And it was a natural progression from that to CDJs to eventually to controller technology. So controller technology is simply a mixing desk that you have access. You can plug in your laptop. You have a selection of tunes. Mm. You've got software to operate it. It's manual controlled as well on the sliders, and that's it. And off you go. It's been one of the big talking points about DJs that have started over the last between year and 2 years about the whole sync button. You guys have heard about the sync button?
Yes, yeah. I've heard of it.
So the sync button basically aligns your beats for you.
Okay, so it's cheating.
It's like it turns that wheel for you instead of you having to turn it right.
So what happens is you press the sync button and let's say your track on the left is 130 beats per minute and your track on the right is 128 beats per minute. You press the sync button on the left and it aligns them both at 128 beats per minute.
Now, Paul, are you pissed off with these people that are doing this? Because here you are, you've slugged it out for years and years to get the skill that you've got. And now here comes Bill Gates with his technology.
You know, it's not a thing about being upset.
Yeah.
You know, this is technology, and at one way or another, we have to move forward.
Mm.
You know, so the guys that started in 1994, and then there's guys that started in 2014. In my experience, it's not about the technology. It's about the experience.
Hmm.
That's what it comes down to. You know, I can say I've got 2 terabytes of music. I've got the coolest DJ system. I've got lacquer headphones. I'm ready to go. But without experience and crowd control.
Yeah, you have to like read the crowd and see if they're going to like that song. Or if the previous DJ played the song, you have to know to skip that song. Or what else do you have to know?
Well, I make it sound simple when, after all these years experience, you know, when you talk to other DJs, you know, they understand the jargon. So when we talk about it's easy, it's easy for us. You know, so when you've got a guy like, for example, an icon of mine, DJ Dizzy.
Yeah.
Now Dizzy has been around since the late 80s.
Huh.
Is this Dizzy Rascal?
No. Now, you get guys that have slogged it out on vinyl. I have, in my previous home, when I used to live at home with my folks, which was many thousands of eons ago, I've got approximately 7,500 records.
Yes. Wow, dude.
So those are records from in my badly behaved days.
Okay. As a DJ, isn't your every day a badly behaved day?
Well, some better than others. You have your good days.
Because the chicks always leave with the DJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I reserve comment for that. I reserve comment for that.
We have one of your exes on the line.
That's fine. No, gents, it's really, it's not something to be, it's something, technology is something to embrace.
Yeah.
You know, But the thing that the little guys fall short of, and I say little, I'm not discriminating. Mm. I'm simply saying these are the guys without any experience in the industry.
How do you get that experience, though? How do you get better at it? And also, how do you pick it up in the first place? Well, because everybody must ask you this question all the time.
Well, I started, I'll give you an example of how what the general consensus is and how I started. I started when I was in the old Standard 3. And
grade 5, yeah.
My mother used to play the piano at church.
Ah.
And all of a sudden, I started picking up playing by ear. I mean, I used to hear my mother play something, and then I would play it. I've never read piano in my entire life. Mm. And my mother said, that's it. Go. Goodbye. Go for lessons. Cheers.
Hmm.
And off I went, and about 4 years down the line, I said, that's it. I don't want this anymore. And I got to Standard 9 matric, and I'm like, I want to give this a try.
Mm.
My father had two old turntables in the garage, took them, two records together, and play, and I'm like, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can do this. And from then on, my first official club gig was in matric.
Hmm.
I used to sneak out at night until my mother figured out. My parents are God-fearing Christians.
Okay.
So this was not condoned, but it was not, they didn't embrace it either.
Okay. So they just gave you a side eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And okay. Then one night my mother figured out that I was going out and not telling anybody. I used to leave a little crack in the window, come back at 1, 2 in the morning, slide in through the window into bed, and nobody was one the wiser.
Huh.
Told my mother, lock the window.
Oh, no, Mom. Why do you have to go do that? But you still managed to make it happen, and you've been able to consistently have work as a DJ and consistently grow as a DJ.
Yeah, I think it's about your level of professionalism.
Mm.
It's about how you present yourself. It always goes back to the first three rules of being a DJ. Demos, demos, demos.
Like making demos and just handing them out?
100%. It's demos and persistence. You're a club owner. I'm saying, hi, this is me. I'm DJ Paul Angel. That's my CD. Please, if you've got some time, would you take...
Listen.
5 minutes out of your time to have a listen.
But how do you know if you're like a good DJ? Because whenever you're picking songs, you're always like, okay, I can maybe make this playlist better. And then once you get there, you're like, oh, I think I can make it better. And you can never like just concrete a playlist.
No, you can't. I've seen the best technical DJs
mm-hmm.
fail horribly because they come to the club with a playlist. They come to for an hour set with 15 songs. And that's it. And they're not moving left or right. That's the way they're going.
Yeah.
And then the audience don't respond.
And then that's where the guys panic. And you can see that's where the lack of experience counts.
And then they don't know what to do. Because can you always predict a crowd?
You can't.
Okay.
You can't.
Can you predict like the sort of music that crowd wants? Like whether it's a club that likes commercial or a club that likes more EDM?
So... Mavida's a really, really good example.
Mm.
We've stuck with a commercial/electro/house market since we've been open, and we'll be turning 8 years next year.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it's not about shoving music down your throat saying, this is what we play. If people didn't like what we played, we wouldn't be 8 years down the line.
Yeah, they wouldn't come. Sure. It's interesting because a lot of people, I mean, they just go to the club, they're there for the tequila, and they don't realize that there's a whole sort of
like
thing that's happening.
Like the behind the scenes of the music. Where do you even go, like, to get music?
Well, there's a lot of avenues. You can approach record companies. You could go to somebody like Universal and speak to a guy who's famous in the industry, a guy like Nick Berger.
Yeah, well, I know Nick Berger. Berger, yeah.
So Nick Berger is well respected in the industry. He's a man amongst men. You go to him and okay, so this is who you are, this is where you've been playing. You can have a few songs there.
Okay.
You can have a few tunes. So they sample you on a weekly or a daily or a monthly basis, depending on your stature in the industry.
Okay, I see.
So, and then obviously you've got Beatport and you've got Anjuna Beats, and if you're affiliated with the bigger record labels, the bigger record companies overseas, like Spinning Records, Armada Records.
Spinning is Martin Garrix's label, I think.
That's correct. That's one of the labels he's signed to.
Yeah.
Now, Armada Records is Armin van Buuren.
Oh, okay, dope.
So, that's my labor of love. Trance has been since the day that I started playing.
Sure.
And anything that comes out on that label, for me, is not rubbish.
Now, in your playlist.
Some are better than others. Not necessarily in my playlist. It's more of it's a personal thing.
Yeah.
You know, you have to keep an eye. Unfortunately, in the commercial game, you've got to keep your eye on the big guys. Afrojack, Martin Garrix, Armin van Buuren.
Guetta.
Yeah, David Guetta.
Yeah.
Really good example. So these are the guys you have to keep your eyes on. And these are the guys that are releasing constant material.
Mm.
And the reason these guys are where they are is because there's a rule in Europe that says if you're not making top 40 music, you're not getting booked anywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
That is the consensus. You take a guy like Armin van Buuren who charges 100,000 euros a show.
Wow.
That's still cheap. Calvin Harris, who is the number one on Forbes entertainment list,
yeah.
Earns approximately, you know, he's currently seeing Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
He earned in the last financial year, I think it was $62 million.
Yes. Wow, sure.
Just from DJing.
Just from, geez.
DJing, making tunes, and, you know, Calvin Harris started out as, we all did, started out as a little nobody.
Mm.
And eventually he started producing good tunes, and he started working with better and better vocalists and better producers. And look where he is now.
Do you do that producing thing?
I do from time to time. It's not a professional thing. I do a little bit of mashing and a little bit of bootlegs here and there. It gets frowned upon because it's, you take two tunes that are from two conflicting record labels or two conflicting record companies.
And then put them together and then it's a whole thing. Because there's rights and all sorts of things.
Yeah, the copyrights. Yeah. And you can't sell it. You can't. You go to any dance compilation on the shelves.
Yeah.
See if you can find a mashup.
Yeah, you can't because it's
never going to happen.
There's a rights issue.
When I go to clubs and I see like the non-resident DJs, like these guys that will play there one night, do they get paid?
The guys do get paid. It's a different form of, a lot of people will say, no, Paul, we want you to play. And my argument is simply, you need to give the guy a chance or the guy or the girl. We need to give them a chance simply because it's a different form of entertainment on the night.
Yeah.
If people came night in and night out to Movida, just me playing, we will last, but people will get tired of the music. So
you need different energy.
Yeah, 100%. You need, for example, you might want to get a Pascal and Pierce or a DJ Fresh or something like that. You get guys who play different genres of music, come from different avenues, provide a fresh perspective on the evening. And those, I mean, these guys are making top dollar. It's not, obviously, I'm not at liberty to say. It's just, it's conflicting amounts. You hear stories from people, you know, there's the donkey and then the donkey gets a tail and then.
Yeah.
You know, so you get guys, when you get to the local standard, you're getting guys that are earning 20-25K for an hour.
Yeah, to do an hour long set.
Where do like a lot of the guys practice? Because not everyone has like this 20,000 rand CDJ at home.
Well, because of technology, it's become more accessible. So if you buy yourself a controller, you buy yourself a little laptop, and you get the software, the Traktor software or the virtual DJ software, it's very easy to practice in your bedroom. You know, you hook your headphones up, you set your thing up, and off you go.
What for you do get out of doing it, dude? You've been doing it for all these years, and you can tell by the way you speak about it and the blink in your eyes that you're really passionate about it.
Yeah.
So for you, if you were in a relationship with DJing, how would you describe that relationship and how it's going?
It never changes. It's always been music's always been the one thing that never lets me down. You know, I'm not.
Wow, you're getting deep here, bro.
it's the one thing that when you're in a bad mood.
Yeah.
There's a song for your bad mood.
Mm.
When you're not feeling so great, there's a song that will pick you up and take you to the next level. Make you feel like, and there's music for every single emotion that you feel.
Do you, and I would imagine then for you, when you're putting it together a playlist, you kind of want to take everyone on a journey.
Yeah.
Do you see it like that?
It is a journey. I'll give you a very, very sort of quick rundown of how I do things. So our doors open at 9 o'clock. And I start with a little bit of deep, sort of 120, 122, 124 beats per minute.
That's so slower,
it's,
yeah.
So it just kind of chugs along. Mm. You know, you can have a drink at the bar and laugh with your mates, have a tequila, and the music's just playing in the background. So as we move towards 10, 10:30, you know, you pick up the tempo a little bit, you start playing things like Axwell and Ingrosso, and like the tempo increases and the elements increase in the songs.
Yeah.
And guys are saying, man, I heard this on the radio. This is awesome. And then by 11 o'clock, we have our show on the stage.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's full-blown dance floor. It's you open.
It's like 128 beats from there.
Yeah, we normally start with about 128.
That's when it gets hazy for the people that are at Merlita. that's when Paul starts to see things. And you must, in all these years, have seen things in a club.
Yeah, what's like the wildest thing you've seen in a club?
The craziest thing I've ever seen was at an overseas club in Holland, in Amsterdam, where we toured from Rotterdam to Amsterdam to Leiden, and there was this one guy that followed me around.
Okay.
It was weird, and it just shows the different facets of music and how people respond differently to music. And his thing was to go around and destroy DJ boxes.
Why?
He would sit and he would come and he would put his hands underneath his chin.
Yeah.
And he'd sit there and he'd watch me for hours. He'd watch me. And all of a sudden he'd start gnawing on the DJ box.
What do you mean gnawing?
He'd take bites out of the DJ box.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Jeez, you're not really selling Holland at the moment.
No. So it was the craziest thing. It was that there is very few things that I
can... That is so odd. What the hell was he on?
Yeah, no, that's what I'd like to know. Because I wouldn't recommend that to anybody.
No, that's very odd. So what did you do? I mean, eat your box away?
Yeah, I'm like...
Where's the security?
You know, it's just one of those things where it's
okay,
like,
that's,
you know,
odd.
That's your journey, dog. That's your journey.
I thought you were going to tell me about like some chick like throwing
like
up in the middle of the dance floor
or something like that.
Yeah.
No. I've seen many things. You've seen the fights. You know, you've seen one fight. You've seen them all.
Yeah. Mm.
You know,
why do people fight in clubs?
You know, it. You know, alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll give you a little bit of a description. So, I'm currently studying psychology.
Yes, that's right. You're studying to be a clinical psychologist.
That's right. So, you know, when you take music, you're working with passion and emotion and it's feel good. The endorphins are flowing and you're feeling good. And what happens is that when you drink, it heightens the serotonin in your brain. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you take those two things and, sorry, bud, are you looking at, sorry, that's my chick, bud. And of course, you know, you can't sit there, or you can stand there. Please don't stand. Yeah, you're shoving my girlfriend, and it's a combination. And next minute, you know,
it's like mad fight. It's a fight. And then the bouncers get involved.
Yeah, and it's a whole thing, and you get kicked off, and then everyone wants to ask Paul, how do I get back into the club? Yeah. And there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on. Tell me about having a good night out. Give me the rundown here. What should you drink? What time should you arrive? Like, give me the rundown, because now you're experienced in this.
And tell us about mixing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, typically, the best night out would be between 10 and 11.
Okay, so would you do pre-drinks at home?
Yeah, you can go and you're going to have a bite to eat somewhere.
Okay.
Never get started too early.
Okay.
Okay. Gareth will tell you otherwise, but I believe there's a certain time limit when it comes to tequila.
Okay.
So, you know, you don't go out to a restaurant and have a few drinks, you've had a cocktail or two, and then all of a sudden you start plastering the tequilas before you actually get to the club.
Okay.
Because that shortens your night by at least 2 to 3 hours.
All right. Okay, cool. So it's 10, it's 11 o'clock. You've had a good dinner, one or two cocktails. You arrive at the club. What's the plan of action?
So now you need to establish what it is that you're going to drink, and you need to stick to that. So whether you're going to drink whiskey and soda, or whether you're going to drink a vodka Red Bull, or whether you're going to stick to beer, and you start with a light shooter. You always start with an apple sours or something like that. I mean, I know it's very good.
It's very light.
Yeah, it's very light, right? But the key is to stick with what you know.
Mm.
So you get guys that straight up start with of my experience, guys that will start with double straw rum and Red Bull.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, then
wow.
You,
I mean, that's your night over in an hour.
Well, then, because you get kicked out after the fight.
Exactly. So, typically, is to stick to spirits that you know are good for you.
Hmm.
You know, because as soon as you have a vodka here and a whiskey there, you know, it's always about the color. You know, the clearer the color of the spirit, the easier it is to get out of your system.
Okay. Okay, I see where you're going.
I usually
with
go
this.
Straight for the tequilas.
Yeah, I mean,
but that's pretty clear.
I get a table, get the tequila. I love having a table because then you have somewhere to sit.
Of course. I mean, but the other thing which we call bottle service is now the new trend of the 21st century.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
They come with those, what they?
Sizzlers.
Are they called sizzlers?
No, what are they called?
Sparklers.
Sparklers, yeah. So you've got your section, you've paid your money, you've ordered a bottle of tequila, you've ordered your bottle of Moe, and you've ordered a bottle of premium vodka, for example, and 6 or 12 or 15 Red Bulls. And it comes in a nice presented tray, and it's got ice with it, and it's ice and cold. And you know it, and then it comes with glasses, and it looks fantastic.
Yeah, and you look cool because you're sitting in the corner boiling. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, where am I going? You're counting your coins for the next glass.
Yeah, because it's expensive to do that whole thing. And just on that, I mean, you must have seen people blow ridiculous sums of money in a club.
Yeah, I've seen people.
What kind of bills have you seen?
I've seen thousands, and I'm talking close to 450.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, people have got some serious money. You know, and it's also a status thing.
Yeah, it's an ego thing.
You want your friends to like you, want your friends to approve of what you do and how you go about your business and how people view you. You know that old saying about when days are dark, friends are few. When the tequila's finished,
yeah,
where are your mates?
At the table.
You're sitting at the table by yourself, and your mates are jolling on the dance floor.
I must ask you, so I've been DJing, well, like lessons, probably for like, how many months would you say, Aria?
I don't know. When did you start your course, Flats?
When did we have our party? It must have been like 3 months before that.
Yeah, somewhere around there, from the beginning of the year then.
So, yeah, from the beginning of the year, and you see, I don't know if I'm good and I don't know if I'm bad. I just know that I enjoy it. Because you can't tell if you're good or bad if you haven't played. Like, remember I played that brief thing at Movida, but that was so short. How do you like, where do I go from here if I want to play at clubs?
The idea is what we spoke about earlier is to, and for me, it's about to a larger degree, it's about connection.
Mm-hmm.
You say, you come to me just offsides one day and you say, I made this 20-minute thing. Do you mind? And that's how a lot of the guys do it. It's how they get done. You say, tune selection is great, but I can't really feel your energy on a CD.
Mm.
I need to say, I'll give you a 20-minute gap. Your 20 minutes on the disc will tell me what I need to know about your technical ability.
Yeah. Like beat matching, stuff like that.
Beat matching, bars, song selection, entry and exit points. How you start your set, how you end your set, simple things like easy things like that. That stuff that if you've got a little bit of experience, you understand what I'm saying. Mm. So I mean, it's easy to, you know, there's this thing. I mix tracks. I let tracks play for no longer than 3 to 3.5 minutes.
Okay.
You know what the this is a statistic. I know that I had the statistic. The author, if you want to call it that. A while ago, you know what the average attention span of the average drunk person on the dance floor is?
I'm going to guess 2.5 minutes.
3 minutes.
Three minutes. That's funny.
3 minutes, because eventually you start like, you're
okay, cool. I've sung the chorus twice now. I'm good. What's the next tune?
So let's go. And for some people that works, but for others it doesn't.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, when you take over from a DJ, let's say the guy's not, he didn't perform. So now you as the resident, you now have to pick up your game.
Mm.
You now have to, unfortunately,
fix his mess.
You have to fix his mess. And if it makes him look bad in the process, that's just too bad.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So then you take songs, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. You play the main bit of the song, sing along, next song, next song. And eventually in 10, 15 minutes, you've played 5-6 songs. And for some people, they'll come to you and say, you know, you played just a little bit of that song. Can't you play that again?
Yeah.
Do DJs usually play for an hour? How's it work?
It depends. It actually depends on the circles that you're in, funny enough. When you go to clubs like in Midrand, for example, you go to Truth.
Mm.
Okay. Excuse me. Those guys play for an average between an hour and a half and 2 hour sets.
Okay. Yes. So it's a little longer, but it's a lot more mellow, that kind of vibe, right?
Yeah. It depends on what dance floor you're on. Yeah. If you're on the house dance floor, which ranges from 120 to 125 beats per minute, it sort of stays like that the whole night.
Okay.
But if you move to the main floor where you get anything from progressive to trance, to even a little bit of hard style.
Yeah.
Now, when you get to hard style, we're talking anything between 138 to 150 beats per minute.
Sure. Wow. Okay.
I think I've learned a lot.
So it all depends. Yeah, and we're running out of time, but it really has been interesting speaking to you. And
it's been good to be here.
And now when I see you, I have a different perspective, because now I know that you're studying to be a clinical psychologist, and you've had years and years of watching all these people at play. I mean, they say that you're your truest form sometimes when you're drunk. So for you, it must be a very interesting experience, like what you do in your 9-to-5. And it must help a lot with the studying.
Yeah, no, it helps me to apply certain theories, and, you know, and everybody, every second person is a DJ, and the other second lot of people are psychologists.
And you're both. Yeah. So well done. That's DJ Paul Angel there. Dude, it's easy to keep up with you. How do we do it?
Easy. You can catch me on Facebook at DJ space Paul space Angel. On Twitter, you can catch me at DJ Paul Angel, all lower caps.
Fantastic. Flax, you learnt a lot?
Yes, it's so much. I got so much to think about now.
There you go. Next time you're putting a playlist together, now you know what you should be doing.
Is Kelman on Cliff Central.